invite you to turn in your Bibles to the letter of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. We'll be reading verses 15 through 20. If you like, you'll also find the scripture on the inside of your bulletin on the right-hand side, and if you'll look there at the scripture if you desire. While you're doing that, let me make an official announcement. This morning I was talking to somebody in the greeting time in the early service, and they said to me, a member of this church, they'd been away for several months, they said, this is my first time worshiping in an ECO congregation. And indeed, they were correct. And so we are now in the ECO denomination. Yes. So if you go to their website, you'll find our church's name there and our pastors there. We are grateful to God for His faithfulness to us, for His carrying us all along in this journey. And so this morning we do say thanks be to God for His unfailing care and love and power bringing us on the way. And we think about this new place we're in, and in by the grace of God, and we I think also that it is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to serve God in a new way, faithfully, more fully. And so we look at it that way, as an opportunity to serve God. And one final thing, and I don't want you to hear me raising money right now, because that's really not what I'm doing. But somebody said, some people said something to me that makes me want to say this. So first off, you know that we had to borrow $370,000 to pay the presbytery in our leaving, and raising that money is going well. So that's the first thing I'll say. But secondly, the comments that were told to me said was, really, you need to say one more time that if, and the heart of the people bringing this up was that we don't want people to be left out who really want to contribute to paying off that loan, that debt, that you need to say if you desire to do that, if you desire to contribute to paying down this loan, we do invite you to do that, and you simply need to call the church office and speak to Sue, and she'll give you all the help you need. Now, let's turn our hearts and minds to the scripture and the preaching, and let's pray together first. Oh Lord, we say, blessed be your name, glory be to you. We thank you that as we've been singing, a great day of harvest is coming. You, Lord Jesus, are coming. And we are all glory bound. And we are thankful. And Lord, our desire on the way to that future you have for us is to be faithful servants here now. And so to that end, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would take the word read and preached and write it deep into our hearts. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hear God's word beginning at verse 15 of Ephesians 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Now, we've been away from our study of Ephesians for a while, and we return this morning, and as we return, we hear the Scripture say, make the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. And I hear those words, and I say, because there might be some of us that tend a little bit to the obsessive side, and I say to you, relax, don't get obsessive, but still understand this. Every day, he's telling us, every day and every hour and every minute is an opportunity for doing God's will, for being used for his glory, for expressing our love and gratitude to him by serving him. And so this day, when you got up this morning, there was an opportunity before you, another day, an opportunity to serve the Lord who loves you. And I've already said, this day we officially announced moving into the ECO. And it is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to serve the Lord more fully, more joyfully, more skillfully. Now, to serve the Lord more faithfully and fully, we need to grow in understanding of His will. And that's why our Scripture says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand God's will, what the Lord's will is. Okay, Paul, what is God's will? You brought that up. Do you have a particular aspect of God's will in mind when you say that? And it's almost as if, as I read him here, it's almost as if he says, well, yes, in particular, I do. This is the will of God I have in mind. Be filled with the Spirit. There's a command there. Be filled with the Spirit. Actually, too, do not get drunk with wine, which is debauchery or total waste. But be filled with the Spirit. I want to look at that, explore that with you. What does that mean, to be filled with the Spirit? And then I want to, secondly, consider how one is filled with the Spirit. So first, what are we talking about here? Let me put it quite simply this way. What is it to be filled with the Spirit? It is to live life under the influence. Under the influence of the Spirit. This is a call, by the way, to normal Christian living. Normalcy for the Christian is living under the influence of the Spirit. And so Paul says, do not get drunk with wine, which is debauchery or waste. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And there's this comparison here that needs to be mined. Somebody is driving down the road and they're weaving back and forth and driving in a crazy way. And a policeman sees them and stops and pulls them over and discovers that they are driving under the influence of alcohol. What they're doing is being influenced by alcohol. In the same way, but really differently at the same time, when a person is under the influence of the Spirit, they're different. They're more loving. There are all kinds of characteristics that show up in their life that wouldn't otherwise, because they are under the influence of the Spirit. Now, in understanding what it means to be under the influence here, I think understanding is aided by considering the dissimilarities and the similarities between drunkenness and being filled with the Spirit, which is the comparison Paul is making here. So let's mind that. Let's think about the dissimilarities and the similarities. Why do people get drunk? And the answers are many, I suppose, but people get drunk to get courage. They get drunk to be more vulnerable, so they think maybe they'll be their real selves, that they'll be able to be who they want to be. They get drunk to escape problems. They get drunk to be happy. The Spirit gives those same things in a better way that substance or alcohol promises. And so this person, he is not a force, he is a person. This person, the Holy Spirit, gives courage. He gives us courage to do what is hard for us. He gives us vulnerability. He gives us ability to be real and to be authentic. Instead of escaping our problems, He gives us ability to face our problems. And He gives us joy. Continue to mine the comparison. Drunkenness leads to a loss of self-control. A person who is drunk often says things that the next day they wish they hadn't said. Being filled with the Spirit leads to greater self-control. Maybe you've never thought about that, but if you look about at the fruit of the Spirit as they're listed, the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5, you discover that a part of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And so a person under the influence of the Holy Spirit is able to tame their tongue. They're able to resist saying something that might be hurtful to someone that they would regret having said the next day. A person under the influence of the Holy Spirit has a control about their anger. They don't repress their anger. They don't run away from their anger. But they are able to avoid expressing their anger in a way that is damaging. Drunkenness, or alcohol, we would say, is a depressant. And as a depressant, one of the things that it does is it limits your ability to take in truth. The part of the reason you get happier when you're under the influence of alcohol is because it is depressing. That is, it is blocking awareness of truth that makes you unhappy. You lost your job. You're devastated. And you get drunk to escape from this painful reality. The truth is being suppressed, depressed. Being filled with the Spirit, in contrast, makes truth shine. Losing your job, you're still devastated, but you take all of that to the Lord and you pour out your heart to Him in authenticity, and the Lord hears you and He makes you aware of truth. You begin to realize God is going to get me through this. You begin to the Spirit begins to remind you that you have a Heavenly Father who watches over you. You know, on this truth matter, it's important that when we think about being filled with the Spirit, that we think about the truth of God, the truth of Scripture. In your bulletin, I think I've included a parallel scripture from Colossians 3:16. In Colossians 3:16 and 17, very much the same things are being said there as are being said in these verses we're looking at here. Except instead of being filled with the Spirit, Paul says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so when you're filled with the Spirit, one of the things happens is that the truth shines more brightly instead of truth being depressed and hidden out of sight. Drunkenness. We continue to mind the comparison. Drunkenness leaves you exhausted. You may feel great initially, but the next morning you wake up hungover. You're exhausted. But the Spirit is a stimulant. He energizes us when we are under His influence. And so, for example, you find yourself tired. You've been working really hard. And there's something you're part of and you kind of deep down inside know you should be there. But in your heart, in your mind, you're saying, oh, I'm so tired. I've been working so hard. It's been a long. I'm not going to do that. But you can't quite get past that. And you say, okay. All right, Lord. I'm going to go. But I'm so tired. And you go with such low expectations. And you come and you find yourself in this situation that God had called you into that you were about to avoid, and you find yourself suddenly energized by the Spirit. The Spirit is a stimulant who does not leave us exhausted, but He, this one, gives us energy to serve God when we're under His influence. Now, let me say this again. For the Christian, being filled with the Spirit is meant to be the new normal. The new normal. The new normal for every single Christian. How can I say that? Well, I want you to look at this command. Be filled with the Spirit. Let me bring out all the grammar that's in the verb there, be filled. First off, And maybe some of it's kind of hidden maybe in the Greek, but there are four things to note about this verb, be filled. First, I want you to notice it's a command. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. This is something in which we are to participate. There is something for us to do. We put ourselves in a position where we can be filled. That's first. Second, the verb is passive. What does that mean? Well, it means that this is not something you and I have complete control over. It's something God does. It's something done to us. And so on the one hand, it's a command. There is a participation. There is something for us to do. There is our putting ourselves in the place where we can be filled. And on the other hand, there is this passive dimension to it. It is not something we have control over. It is something that God does. Now, third, the verb is in the present tense, and especially in the Greek, this indicates continuous, ongoing action. And so what's important to see here, this is not talking about an experience here or there, but it's talking about ongoing experience, normalcy. What is to be the case every day when you get up, if you go to work tomorrow morning and you start your day and you work all through the week, this is the normalcy of your work week, filled with the Spirit. Finally, fourth, the verb is plural. And here, as Corey has been pointing out to us sometimes, this is where our Southern talk gets in. It's you all here. It's for everyone who is reading this letter of Ephesians. It is not just for some. It is for every Christian. And so, it's the new normal for every Christian. Now, what may make this a little bit confusing, and I can only spend a little bit of time on this, is that there's another way, apart from this particular passage, that the Scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, speaks about being full of the Spirit. And that is speaking about it in terms of empowering for ministry and special experiences of God and His working. Now, we see this especially in the book of Acts. And so these people who were filled on Pentecost, the first time they were filled on Pentecost, and in Acts chapter 4, we discover that they are the same group of people as being, some of them at least, are being persecuted. They are being intimidated. The Jewish religious leaders are trying to shut them down. And they gather for prayer, and they pray, and ask for God's working, and the Spirit fills them again, and we're told they go out and they speak the Word of God boldly. They have been freshly empowered for witness. Or I think about this kind of example. There is a Christian woman, and she has lost somebody close to her. And she is in deep grief. She's in deep grief. And there's somebody she knows well enough that they feel free to say what they want to say with her. And they say something maybe not to advise, but they say to her, you know, I don't even know why you believe in this Christian God. How could a Christian God, this Christian God you believe in, allow this thing, that this loss in your life? How could it be? And all of a sudden, right then, she begins to be filled with joy. And she finds herself, without much thought, just speaking kind of spontaneously and saying, you know, there's a lot I don't understand and I can't explain. But you know what? Right now, I have a sense from the Lord that He's giving me joy. I still have my grief, but I have joy. There's awareness He's putting in me that it's all going to be okay down the road. And not only that, I don't know how I would even make it through this if I didn't have the Lord. There was a special power of the Spirit that came right in that moment to equip her, to enable her. She was full of the Spirit. Another example. I've had a pastor friend. I haven't been in touch with him for years. He used to be a very close friend. And let me say this about him. He's not an emotional guy, before I share this with you. He's not an emotional guy. He's a PhD with a prestigious, his doctor from a prestigious Scottish university, very bright, scholarly person. He went to a conference in Great Britain. And at the end of one of the meetings at that conference, whoever was up front said, "Now we're going to ask the Holy Spirit come and to do some ministry." And so whoever it was prayed that way. And my friend, after that prayer, began to laugh and laugh and laugh. And this went on, he's not sure how long, because he sort of lost track of time, but about 45 minutes. The meeting had ended. Most of the people had gone home. Somebody had to come and they picked him up and they helped him walk out and they put him in a taxi. He was like a man who was drunk. Now, what was going on? I don't know for sure, and I don't think my friend really knows for sure, except that what I know about my friend is that he had deep trauma in his life, and I personally believe that the Spirit was ministering in a deep and healing way in his life. There are these times when the Spirit of God fills us in empowering ways. There are these times where the Spirit of God comes and ministers in deep ways. And these times are called the fullness or the filling of the Spirit too. And a lot of us get really afraid and nervous about those kinds of things. And I say, okay, there are some wacky things maybe going on sometimes. But don't for a minute think these things don't happen. Don't for a minute think the Spirit doesn't come in to people to do ministry to them and through them. Now, having said that and very briefly explained what really deserves about three sermons, I did major work in this area in my doctoral work. I have a book that I wrote about 300 pages that covers a lot of this, and I've just given you 5 minutes. But also understand that the will of God for us, normalcy, is to be filled with the Spirit in this sense we're looking at and thinking about in this passage, and that is living under the influence of the Spirit all the time. We are called, we are commanded to live under the influence of the Spirit. Now, second, how? How? How do we live under the influence of the Spirit? How are we filled with the Spirit? Let me suggest four things. First, hearing about some of these incredible experiences people have, we might be tempted to become experience seekers. And I say to you, stay open to what God wants to do in you. And I say, welcome what He wants to do in you. And I say, if you want to pray, Lord, if you want to minister to me by the Spirit, I open myself up to you. Please do it. But don't become an experience seeker either. Instead, and here's the point, become a God seeker. Hunger and thirst for God. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst for God to work more of who He is into your life. So in being filled with the Spirit, the first thing is, don't seek an experience, seek God. Secondly, we live in a technological society, and part of living in this tech world of ours is that we are trained to think that we can control everything. And we're trained to think, okay, now, let's see, I need that. So what are the steps to getting that? 1, 2, 3. Now I've got it. You know, my phone, I don't know why this happened, but my phone 2 days ago lost almost all of the apps. Hey, no problem. I just, pushed a button here or a symbol here and started checking off apps, Now my favorite app, Walmart, returns. And here's a good free one I need. Braces and oral surgery. Better get that one. And all my apps are back. I had to download a few again. Hey, I'm in control. No problem. And we come here to this whole matter of being filled with the Spirit. And out of this mentality that we live in and are trained in, it's so easy to deal with God as if He was a commodity to be used by us simply to make our life better. He is God. He is God. We come to Him. We don't control Him. We turn control over to Him. Okay, Lord, I'm trusting You. I know You love me. I know You love me. Whatever You say, whatever You want to do, it's okay. God, You're in charge. I yield. I trust You. Have Your own way, Lord. I yield. And so the second point is simply that. One is, when one is going to be filled with the Spirit, they're in a place of simply yielding. A trusting kind of yielding. You know, I love basketball. And I was listening to some dialogue a player was having who was on the bench. And he finally got in the game and got to play some significant minutes in the game. And he says, well, you know, coach is trusting me more. And I trust coach. Whatever he says, that's okay. I trust coach. And I think about that and I say, okay, being filled with the Spirit. Whatever God says, right? You trust Him. I trust coach, God. Actually, more than coach, the Lord, God Almighty. I trust Him. Third, Jesus says, ask. In Luke 11:13, Jesus says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now listen, you have the Holy Spirit when you trust in Christ. The minute you trust in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And if you've been with us in our study of Ephesians, you've seen over and over again where the Apostle Paul mentions this gift of the Holy Spirit, mentions the fact that the operation of the Holy Spirit is in us. He comes to live in us when we first put our trust in Christ. But you can ask for more of His influence. You can ask for more of His working. You can ask for more of His empowering. And here's how I work this asking out of my life every single day. Every single day. I confess my sins. I seek to repent of my sins. Not a superficial kind of confession, I hope. I try to really repent of my sins. I receive the forgiveness of God. And I pray, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me to overflowing with Your Spirit. There's no reason not to pray that way. Jesus said, ask. Ask. And fourth, and this fourth point must be paired with this last point I just said, all of them together, really. But being filled with the Spirit in an ongoing basis requires making use of the normal means of grace. What are the normal means of grace that we make use of? Prayer, Bible study, obedience to God's will, fellowship, worship, and so on. For example, take Scripture. Now, God does what He does by His grace apart from us, and so I don't want to limit God in any way, but quite honestly, I have to tell you, if you only sit down every once in a while and get in the Scripture, the chances of you being filled with the Spirit and that being the new normal for you is going to be limited. Because this being filled with the Spirit, it means that we are making use of the means of grace. In our passage, we see part of the means of grace that I haven't mentioned yet, but let me mention, we're filled with the Spirit and certain things happen. Notice this. By the way, there's one verb here, be filled. All these things that follow are what are called participles, verbal nouns. They simply come out of or relate to the main verb, if you understand what I'm saying. So speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in our hearts, and thanksgiving. The Spirit's influence moves us to share truth. So, for example, somebody comes up to you and says, you know what, I was reading Psalm 107 this morning. Man, do you know Psalm 107? They say to you, no. But it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And it keeps saying, give thanks for the unfailing love of God. And, you know, God really touched my heart when I just can't tell you how He touched my heart. You're practicing speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart. Worship, singing and worship. These things flow out of being under the influence of the Spirit. But here's the thing, they're also means of grace. And so take thanksgiving, for example. You choose to practice thanksgiving. You spend time thanking the Lord. You develop this means of grace and you grow in this discipline. Maybe you did what I suggested last week. You sat down this week for 15 minutes and you just spent time thanking God. And when you do that, you find yourself more alive in the Spirit. You find yourself moving toward being filled with the Spirit afresh. So on one hand, being filled with the Spirit leads to thanksgiving. And on the other hand, when you choose to live in the means of grace and you choose thanksgiving, it leads into being filled with the Spirit, to being more fully under the influence of the Spirit. Now, let me stop there with the thanksgiving area and